Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good to have you with us. And if you missed the first hour, you shouldn't. But if you did, you should listen back to it if you're interested in health and the health provision in this county at all, at all. A caller says, how do you sync TV with Highland Radio for Donegal matches? Well, it all depends which is ahead and which is behind. So I use a smart speaker. And if Highland Radio's commentary is ahead, I pause it and then replay it. If Highland's commentary is behind, I have a dongle in the back of the telly, just a regular old thumb drive, as they called them, and then briefly pause the TV and then resume it when action. It's probably a little bit more complicated than I made out, but I'm a bit of a nerd, you see, and these are the types of things I'd be at. God help those around me. It might be more complicated for someone else who's not as committed to nerdism than I. Hi, Greg. I see you were talking weddings this week. I'd like to warn people to make sure your photographer and videographer are genuine. I got married 3 years ago and I'm still waiting on my video. What an absolute stinker. I'm sorry about that, Aoife. Also, to actually talk about things that are genuine. Mentioned to Lee Gooch at the start of the show, just selling a car at the moment. It's not my car, it's my son's car, but anyway, selling at the moment. Lovely car, by the way, if you're interested. But I listed it on Facebook Market, and maybe it's obvious or maybe it's not. But what happens is as soon as you list anything on Facebook Market, you get accounts that come in to have a conversation about the car. I'm not sure if it's real people or AI, but they ask good questions. What's the mileage? What's the least you could take? Where could I meet you? And it goes on and on and on and on. But I'm kind of privy to this anyway, and I was bored for a while yesterday. But eventually what they do is they say, right, I'll buy the car. I'll give you cash. I'll give you bank strap, whatever way you want the car paid for, they say that's no problem whatsoever. But what they do is they say, I need you, though, to run a history check on the car. So it's the history of its servicing, whether there's any outstanding finance, etc. And they send you a link. And they say it's like 15 quid or whatever it might be. So the idea is that they've talked the talk, they've asked all the right questions, they've agreed to meet you. And the one last thing that they need you to do is just run a history check on your car and send that to them. And that's where they send you the link. It's an ADI, I think they call it. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But anyway, just in case you're advertising anything on Facebook, they will talk the talk. They're generally locked profiles, so that should be suspicious to begin with. But they will then ask you to fill out a URL to prove the authenticity of the car. And that's where they exploit your account and take your money. So just to be careful, as I say, I was aware of it. I'm just thinking maybe you're advertising a car for the first time or something of value. They talk the talk, right? And just at the point where, oh, and by the way, would you mind filling out this form just to run a history check on the car? And that's where they get you. So just be careful if you're advertising on Facebook. Dundeal and others seem to have better protections in place, but Facebook, it's the Wild West, really. So just in case maybe I've saved someone a couple of quid, who knows? A caller says, my point about carers is that when we speak about issues such as domestic violence, we tend to give statistics about how many women are victims without any reference to the statistics for male victims. My point was that these types of statistics shouldn't be generalised. And I remember your comment from yesterday, and I do appreciate your follow-up comment. It was me that just mentioned that. I'll tell you, take the whole carers thing for an example. I just thought it was really quite remarkable, a remarkable statistic. And this is not to say men aren't carers. I've been a carer myself, so trust me, I know where you're coming from. I just thought it amazing that one in three women in their 40s and 50s, and it is specific to women in this case, are carers. I just think that's an awful lot of people, you know what I mean? So if you've got six sisters, two of them are probably carers, not literally, but statistically. And I just thought that is a stat that jumped out at me. But it doesn't in any way, even if one in 10 carers are males, it doesn't in any way underestimate the work that they do. We're not looking for gender-specific or sex-specific changes to the treatment of carers. I thought that was blooming remarkable. One in three women in their 40s or 50s, when you'd hope that, and they're probably very happy doing it, but you hope that maybe they've got a bit of space for themselves, that they find themselves caring. And doing so full of love and putting other people before themselves, and men doing that too. Hi. Often wondering, people talk about rent and what students have to pay, but go into any bar, public hotel, etc., and what age group are in the majority? Yep, students. So yes, rent may be high, but they can afford, they can always afford to go out to socialise regularly. Yeah, but I mean, I get exactly where you're coming from, but like, you know, going to college or what have you is a bit of a rite of passage. I mean, we want them to have a social life and to grow and to make new friends and stuff. Because even if you contact MABS, say, for instance, you're in financial trouble and you contact MABS, they will always, when they're doing the budget for you, they will allocate a certain amount for you to have a life, you know, not go boozing and stuff, but, you know, to buy a pizza or to have broadband. It's generally accepted that, you know, part of not being poor is that you can actually exist as well or live a little bit, not just exist. But I do take your point. More as it relates to landlords, rent, etc. It's very simple, Greg. The majority of landlords are heartless, greedy opportunists who take full advantage of their ability to hike up rent costs while the government do nothing to stop it. Well, the government would argue that's exactly what they're doing. A caller says, well said about the imbalance of giving one section of our society 800 or 600 euro towards their rent. Irish people can't compete with this and have to add in no road tax or NCT on their cars. Like you said, it's not begrudging to them, but give everyone a level playing field. Another high in relation to housing and landlords selling. I remember a few years ago, the government coming up with a plan that if a landlord was selling a house that the local council could buy, it and the tenants pay rent on a non-profit margin. I think this is called buying it tenant in residence or something along those lines. But this caller goes on to say it makes a lot of sense. No evictions. The council make their money back and everyone's a winner. What happened to that being implemented? I think that's reliant too, though, on a budget from government to fund it. Honestly, an overpayment of pensions in this day and age, says the listener. This is off the back of, for 20 years, civil servants and ministers have been mostly overpaid, some underpaid their pensions. In some cases, former high-ranking civil servants were getting an extra 280 grand put into their bank on top of their two million pension pot. So that's the context. If I got an overpayment of 10 euro in my widow's pension, I'd know it. Every public body should be audited independently and someone held accountable. I'm sure there's a lot of money going astray. And I was thinking about this last night, about this. So you have a situation where for 20 years, civil servants have been overpaid their pensions and ministers and some civil servants, for some it's like a tenner here or there, but for others, 280,000 euro. I bet you there's some of you out there that a pension was paid to your mum or dad or your partner and they died and then the payment continued for a week or two or three and you got a letter saying that you needed to give that money back as you were dealing with your grief. I bet you that's happened to people out there, because I know I've spoken to people who have been in that position. So we have a system that goes after those that have been recently bereaved to refund 1, 2, or 3 weeks of a pension, which is pretty heartless in the throes of a loss. And yet for 20 years, the same people that are charged with running that system are getting overpaid and no one notices it. How can you get 280 grand into your bank account and not wonder, where did that come from? Crazy, crazy stuff. Right, a couple of things to mention. Paul McLaughlin will be in the garden after 11 a.m. taking your questions. Get them into me right now, 08660 25000. And also, you're invited to the retirement of PJ and Magella Sweeney. It's at the Mount Errigal Hotel, Letterkenny. It's on Sunday, the 14th of June. Drinks reception at 7, dinner at 8. Tickets are 40 euro and available from the Mount Errigal Hotel reception. So it's not bad for a three-course meal, is it? 40 euro, including a drinks reception. And it's all to celebrate the retirement of PJ and Magella Sweeney. 08660 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 08660 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Right, now I'm joined on the programme by former CEO of Northwest Tourism, Paul McLoone. Good morning to you, Paul. Thank you so much for your time. How are you keeping?
Not bad, Greg. Good to talk to you again.
All right. Okay. So I see a newspaper article which shows that the Rory Gallagher International Festival Organization, they're launching crowdfunding campaign for the very survival of festival in and of itself. Why aren't we seeing sort of as a state and as tourism bodies the benefits of these and helping these festivals out more so to ensure their survival?
Well, that's the whole problem. Like, I'm from Ballyshannon, might I say, and I want to commend the festival committee for having the initiative to go out and fundraise. But I formerly worked in tourism, so I'm thinking to myself, has it come to this as a county like Donegal that festivals have to go out and fundraise to exist, even though they're at the very heart of tourism in the county? So when I worked in tourism, it was Northwest Tourism, you might remember it, Greg, yourself. So at that time, there was strong representation from industry, like there was a lot of hoteliers, Patsy Doherty, Terry McNiff from Donegal, Noel McGinley from Self Catering, John Sweeney Restaurants, Kieran Brogan actually from the council. So they mandated the executive of Northwest Tourism to go chasing major festivals. We covered Cavan at the time as well and worked in partnership with Derry. We were able to attract the All-Ireland FLA to the wider Northwest region 8 times in 11 years, starting off in Letterkenny in 2005. We then brought the World Rally Championships to the Northwest 2007-2009. You may recall the final stage was live on television in Donegal Town. And at that time, the private and voluntary sector really responded well to this. You'll recall, privately, Leonard Cohen, Westlife, played Lissadale House in Sligo, which we were delighted about, funded by themselves in Lissadale. But at the time, what the board said to me is, now that you attract major festivals, you must nurture festivals within the region. And in particular, and I'm going to be specific about the South Donegal area, because we're talking about Rory Gallagher,
yeah,
Greg. At that time, the first Rory Gallagher Festival was in 2002. The first Sea Sessions was 2008. And the first Taste of Donegal Festival was also 2008. So we saw huge potential in those festivals. I went down as the executive, worked with them, went with them to get additional funding if they needed additional funding. And we just nurtured them. And then they grew to be 3 magnificent events for the region. And tourism is everyone's business in County Donegal, you know, be it the supplier of food, drinks, restaurants, hotels, you name it. It's a very important industry for the county. So it disappoints me hugely that one of our events is now out fundraising. Sea Sessions isn't happening at all. People are reacting and doing voice pops on radio. Isn't it terrible and all that? Everyone in South Donegal knew last Christmas that Sea Sessions wasn't going to happen. So my question, Greg, is why doesn't people get off their backsides and do something about it, not talk about it, not say, you know, we hope you're back next year? It's everyone's business to get this right, whether you're a civil servant, whether you're an elected representative. There's no point talking about it after the event.
But who's responsible, though? Because, you know, like, it sounds to me like there was a great deal of scrutiny and oversight of the work that you and others were doing back in the noughties, right? But, I mean, you know, we're seeing 2 major events not going ahead this year. Whether they come back or not is in the balance. And Rory Gallagher having to get the begging bowl out. So, you know, like, can we pinpoint as to under whose watch? Now, I'm not looking for a name, but you know what I mean? Under whose watch is this allowed to happen?
Well, it's Falls Ireland and Donegal County Council, to be specific. Like, they've delegated some of the responsibility, the festivals, to the council. And Falls Ireland are putting in a 3-year strategy to fund festivals from 26 to 28. But the problem with that is one of the closing dates is May this year. Mm. So, for instance, if Sea Sessions hasn't applied because they were in big trouble, so that we can say, will Sea Sessions happen again until 2029? So the people in the know should be rolling up their sleeves and doing something about it. And we have a municipal district in South Donegal, so I can't see why this isn't debated. What should happen is you go and you talk to the festivals. And it doesn't matter whose responsibility that we'd say it's an organisation. If I'm elected representative in South Donegal, I'd say this is a problem in my area. I'm going to go down, I'm going to talk to these festivals. And as they did in my time, like Sean McNiff was the chairman and Ray McSherry, we would have went to Dublin and kicked down doors to get the funding and not have our festivals gone out with begging bowls. So to me, it's not good enough. So the rise of momentum must happen within the county. We'll not start blaming anyone. Like we saw last year, Greg, I'm sure it was on your radio, where Piers Doherty asked, who was then Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, wasn't it terrible about festivals? Two of them, it was in June 2024. The Taoiseach agreed and said, oh, we need a round table discussion. Like now we're in June 2025, two festivals in my area are in one gone, one begging for money, and the Taste of Donegal, of course, with the difficulties it had. So it's dreadful.
Yeah.
So someone needs to do something about it.
But, there has to be an appetite to do something about it, right? If you, and I've kind of got a little bit of a taste of this in different areas, and I just wonder, there seems to be a great emphasis on online promotion, that is how you get tourists in, that you throw money at social media influencers, or you stick people in a camper van to drive around the county. All valid, don't get me wrong. My question would be, what level of commitment is there to festivals, or what do the likes of the council and the tourism agencies, you know, do they see the benefit in them? Are they looking and going, do you know what? Instead of giving that 60 grand to the Taste of Food Festival, what we'll do is we'll get three social media influencers to climb Errigal and tell everyone how great it is. Do you know what I mean? I think we need to dig down to what is the attitude towards festivals, and what's the business plan, what's the business model, who's our target demo, and so on and so forth.
Or maybe they'll give billions to Adair to get a bypass to host the Ryder Cup. The issue is, I'm talking about my hometown of Ballyshannon, which has very little going on in it. So the way to look at this, Greg, is let's take the festival out of there and you lose 4 million. It's the same with Sea Sessions in Bundoran. So it doesn't take rocket science to see the difficulty for small towns if they lose major events.
Yeah, but so my point is, Paul, is Fáilte Ireland interested in the fact that Ballyshannon as a town is going to be 4 million down? If they're looking at how you attract numbers in, they're looking at KPIs, etc., my question to you is do they see festivals as the big return? Because that's obviously, there has to be a factor, and maybe they don't. That was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, you see, you've answered the question yourself. Do they care about Ballyshannon? Well, I bloody well do. But does enough people care about it? And that's the question that we must ask. And that's what I'm saying. If I was an elected representative, I would not allow this to happen. And if there's someone in Dublin or somewhere else doesn't care about Ballyshannon, well, that's not good enough. They shouldn't be in their job. This is a major festival for the country. Like, Rory Gallagher is an iconic figure. Like, the fact that we're talking about the Rory Gallagher Festival is nonsense for anyone in Dublin or anywhere else. And what you'll see is, if Rory Gallagher is lost, the following year there'll be a major festival in Cork celebrating Rory Gallagher. So to me, it's not satisfactory, and there's no one can convince me that it is right.
Yeah, powerful stuff. And I don't think there's anyone could argue with in relation to this, because it also should be pointed out that obviously you're a very passionate, proud Ballyshannon man, but Ballyshannon's part of the wider county here, and we should all be batting as much as we would for Letterkenny, for Donegal Town, for Buncrana. We don't want Ballyshannon to feel that they have to fight this battle on their own. Paul, go ahead.
Sorry, before you finish, Greg, I mentioned earlier about the Fla Cheoil. The Fla Cheoil hasn't been in Donegal in 20 years with our tradition of music. It was in Letterkenny last in 2006. So I saw Kieran Brogan, his man I admire a lot. I say he came in as mayor. It's in Ballina, by the way, 27, 28, Belfast next year. There should be an application put in to host. It takes a few years to prepare it anyway. But the Fla should be brought back to County Donegal. As you mentioned, I'm also a passionate Donegal man. So that's a major event. And it signals to all event organisers in the county that the county's going for the big picture again. And we go applying for major events to be brought to Donegal.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Paul. You wouldn't fancy coming out of retirement, no?
No.
Take care, Paul. God bless you. Thanks very much indeed. Paul McLoon there. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. And I know lots of you in the Ballyshannon, Donegal Town, Bundoran area listening to us, and why wouldn't you? We are your local Donegal station. Well, give us a call, 086 60 25,000. Sorry, that's the WhatsApp. Give us a call on 074 91 25,000. I mean, obviously very tongue-in-cheek yesterday. I was listening to an ad, and Burgesslaw was mentioned in the ad, and I just says, you know, on a very light note, it kind of grinds my gears. And I put it out there as to what phrases annoy you. Stevie messaged in, rosemantic. Now, I've never heard of that. I don't know what rosemantic means. I could Google it. Chillax is another one that grinds Stevie's gears. Chillax and brainstorming. They all do my nut in. If you've got any, let us know. 086 60 25,000. Appreciate that. Right. Now, loads coming in on a very on our various topics. So really appreciate that. I'll catch up on some of those and much more after these. Okay. A caller says, I got a smart meter last year. I'm happy with it. No more estimated readings. The bills have actually come down slightly. If I didn't allow the change to smart meter, I would have to pay for installation in the future. This would not be an insignificant amount. Okay, indeed. I have two Ukrainians living in my house. I get paid the €800, which not means tested. It is dropping to €600 per month. Indeed, that's what I was saying. Right, now, let's say hello to Keane, Finn, Sean, two Seans, in fact, Sean Judson, Sean Dirk, and all 16 and 17-year-olds from Kildare, Leash, Kildare, and Wicklow. Lads, good morning to you.
What?
Hello.
How are you getting on? Where are you?
We're just in a petrol station in Tullow, Tullig, or something like that.
Brilliant stuff. Right, lads, you are undertaking a challenge, a massive challenge, in fact, walking from Mizzenhead to Malinhead. That's, of course, the southernmost part of Ireland to the northernmost port in Ireland. I'll ask you, Keane, first, why?
Well, we were at break time at school and all the lads were playing football and we weren't really bothered that day. So we knew summer was coming up and we had time in our hands, so we were like, sure, like, what would we do? So we decided to take on a challenge from walking to Mizzen to Malin, and we said if we were to do it, we'll raise money for a good cause.
All right, Finn, you're setting yourself a short time frame to do this. Talk to me about that.
Sorry, what did you say?
You're doing this in just 2 weeks.
Yeah, we said to people that we could try and do it in 2 weeks, and we are on track for our goal. So, yeah, it's been really good.
And how? What's it been like? Obviously, there's 4 years you can chat, but what's the experience been like so far?
It's been good. We've had people pulling over and like supporting us and giving us refreshments and beeping the horn. So it's been really good.
Good stuff. Sean Judson, also from Kildare 17. Yeah. Why are you doing it? Why are you raising money? And why did you choose this charity?
We chose this charity because everyone here, anyone in their lives almost, knows someone that's been affected by cancer or has been involved in cancer. And it's just, you know, we're lucky enough to be able to do this. And I think it's perfect charity to do it for. So, yeah.
And you've had good support. We mentioned, we heard there from Finn about people pulling over and all that kind of stuff. But of course, you've had to look after accommodation and stuff as well. You have been looked after, have you, along the way in that regard?
Yeah, we've been quite lucky with a lot of hotels offering us free nights. And Sean's family up in Sligo giving us a couple of free nights there with their houses and stuff like that. So giving us food and accommodation. So it's been really, really good.
Sean Durkin, I mean, the one thing about cancer is that, you know, we all end up being affected by it. One in two of us get it, but we all have someone close to us often that gets cancer. So, I mean, even at your young age, you know, we're not immune to the effects of cancer.
Yeah, I know. You've got to stay safe. When it can be like try to prevent cancer with like sunscreen and stuff like that, you know, skin cancer is also very susceptible to coming in at a young age as well.
Yeah, good advice. All right, lads. Keane, I'll go back to you. Where are you now? And what are you going to be doing today? You're hoping to get into Letterkenny today, are you? Or where? Give us the timeline of your trip through Donegal.
We're currently in Tulla, in a petrol station in Leitrim. And tonight we're lucky enough to be staying at the Loch Ness Castle. They put us up for a night. So
all right,
we're going to be making our way in that direction. So that's kind of the motivation for today. We've probably another 30-odd kilometres to do today. And then we've got a nice stay in the Loch Ness. So we're all looking forward to it.
Right, you're really improving the situation in terms of accommodation. And Sean Judson, yeah, then it's on through Letterkenny and then up to Malin. You hope to be in Malin on Sunday, and I suppose if people see you along the way, toot the horns and what have you, but more importantly, maybe stop and make a donation if it's safe to do so.
Yeah, hopefully that's the kind of goal, to reach about €30,000 for the Irish Cancer Society. But if it goes over, that's even better.
All right, lads, well done. Stay safe. Thanks so much for joining us. That was Sean Marquis, 16, from Kildare. Finn Craig, 17, from Leash. Sean Judson, 17, from Kildare. Sean Durkin, 17, from Wicklow. They're in Leitrim at the moment. They're going to make it to Loch Ness Castle this evening. Then so they're going to go through Leganey today, which is just a little bit south of Barnes Moor Gap, if you know where that is. Then Thursday, into Letterkenny for Friday, and on to Malin on Sunday, raising money for cancer charities there and raising cancer awareness as well. Fair play to them. Re-smart meters, says the listener. As far as I remember, unless you notified the ESB that you didn't want a smart meter, they would assume you did and proceed accordingly. If your meter is indoors, then they have to have your permission, otherwise they'll go ahead. Yeah, indeed. My letter was effectively saying we're going to do it on this date. And as we heard from the gentleman who was on with us, it's presumed consent, really, I suppose. So unless you contact them and say no, 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 then it will be installed. Hello, Greg. Hello, Noel. That's Noel Cunningham. We were talking about weddings. I think when it comes to the meal, is it necessary for a 7-course meal? I think overeating is unhealthy and not to be encouraged. We have my wife's nephew next month and my brother's daughter in September, as well as another niece in London next year. That comes in from Pat. 3 weddings. Wowzers. Okay. Well, it depends where you go. I don't recall having 7 courses at a wedding, so you must be really living it up. A caller says there's a system called Dremaster, which is installed in the attic, which sorts mould very effectively. Google for information, reinstallation. Okay, Dremaster, never heard tell of that. My heart goes out to the lady you had on the show yesterday looking for a house. Come on, TDs and councillors, please look after her. That was Caroline, who was on with us. Worth listening back to that interview. Not everyone can listen to every hour. She was diagnosed with lung cancer very recently. Her husband had an accident and is off work. He can't work no longer. They're currently in a somewhat affordable accommodation, but their landlord has told them that they have to be out at the end of November. Now, Caroline, with her cancer diagnosis and her husband being incapacitated, they've been told by the council, look, you're not going to qualify for a house. Don't even bother trying, because you're just wasting your time, which is heartbreaking and very discouraging, of course. And she was on with us yesterday, and the first word said, you're my last chance, Greg. And what that means is we're her last chance. It's not me, it's all of us. Caroline, did we make any inroads in relation to Caroline yesterday? No, Caroline's on a call. But we'll keep you updated if anything comes of that. I live in Arden of Glasskill, Macrennan, in social housing. I'm a pensioner. It is inappropriate for me as a pensioner. It's a nightmare to live here with young people, the noise and footballs, etc. But, you know, that's the problem. It's kind of subjective, because there are certain pensioners who would love to be around that, you know, and not feel isolated or out in the sticks. What about the millions Donegal had to cancel, wasted on the road in Letterkenny, leaving it worse than before, and are now going to spend more millions trying to improve it and almost certainly fail again, yet they're allowing people to go homeless? Well, I think the funding you're talking of is TII, but I think I take your wider point. Of course I do there. Rubbish, Greg. The government are not genuinely trying to reduce rental like the defective block scandal. They just introduce a scheme that they know will not work, but think that they are fooling the people into believing they're solving the problem. Well, listen, I never said it's going to work. Like, I'm open to sort of see how it plays out. But firstly, it's going to take a while to introduce rent pressure zones across the country. So landlords may now be forced into upping their price, right? If they up it now before the rent pressure zone is introduced, presumably they can lock it in then at the higher rate. So very interested in if any of your landlords have come to you in the last 24 hours talking about increasing your rent, WhatsApp or so, 086 60 25,000. But also to the whole idea of this is to release caps for new properties. And the whole idea of that is that there is more investment from pension funds and all that type of stuff. But how does that deliver cheaper rents? You know, and I think actually Owen O'Brien, and I didn't pick up on it at the time, that might make more property, more apartments, more flats available in Dublin or Galway or Limerick. And still, even if there's more, the whole idea is that there's more money in it for investors to come in and make money from rent. How does that drive rents down, especially in rural Donegal? It's hard to see it, but as I say, I'm still open to seeing more of the policy and to see how all that works. Right, I beg your pardon, Sarah, for holding you there. I didn't see you on the line. My apologies. I thought I was going to you after the break. Sorry for delaying you. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Right, now,
great, sir.
Talk to me. Is this about your mum?
Yes, this is in relation to the CARES allowance that I applied for from my mum. Now, my mum's passed away 15 months ago.
I'm sorry to hear that, Sarah.
Yeah, well, we miss her terribly. But when I was applying for, because mum was full-time care, we were doing it at home. So I was the one in the family that was kind of mommy's advocate and could do, you know, was in a place where I could help out the most. So I applied for the carers allowance. I was reluctant at the start, but I did after a year or so, just to help out with other private carers and stuff that we had employed. And what was awarded anyway was 95 euro a week. That's what I was awarded after being means tested. A very invasive procedure. They even wanted my PayPal account.
Right, to make sure that you're not, you don't have extra money sitting in it, or you're not buying things left, right, and centre. Wow, that's that's pretty intrusive, all right.
Very interesting.
And it's everyone in the house, isn't it? So you might expect your partner, but if you've any children, I think they also look for information on them, don't they?
Yes, my son is a nurse and he was in full-time employment.
Yeah.
So I had to give all his financial income details.
Yes.
My husband, who is a teacher, had to give up. Now I had to ask, you know, I had to get consent from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am giving all your financial details to this institution. And this is my mother. Not I know she's Dylan's granny and my husband's mother-in-law, but that was between me and my mother.
Yeah.
You know, to have to give details of them was pretty invasive for them. And like, they were very good and they let me do it. But the means testing is terrible. Only way. And the thing was, my mum went in. Now, she'd been in and out of hospital throughout her time. But the last time she went in, she went in on a Saturday morning. And she actually passed away on Wednesday morning. Quite quick, sudden, right, whatever. So, as I do everything right, I informed them right away, you know, because I don't want any hassle with them or whatever. So, informed them right away. And they asked me how many nights was she in?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, she went in four nights. She was in four nights. And they want, well, as she wasn't in my care for those four nights, even though I was with her continuously for the four nights, they wanted the refund.
Ah, my because, word.
Yeah, they wanted the, and the refund.
So, so how soon after your mum passed were you having this back and forth with them?
Immediately.
Wow. They knew your mum had died, though.
Yes. Oh, yes, they were very apologetic and empathetic.
But they were looking for the money back because the hospital was providing that emergency care at that time. They were looking for you to refund them the money they say you received because you weren't caring for your mum. The hospital was. Wow.
Yes, absolutely. The four nights. Now I had back and forth with them and, you know, I would be, you know, quite vocal. I can't believe it. I just lost my mum. You know, as it ended up, they didn't get the refund of whatever it was going to be. I don't know, because I was only getting €95 a week.
It's 28 quid or something. Probably less. My word.
Probably less.
But so, this is the point I was making a little earlier on, because I've come across stuff like this before. You know, a similar department for 20 years has been overpaying pensions to civil servants, overpaying some absolutely civil servants by 280 quid, and yet they're after you, literally just after your mum died, for less than 30 quid. I was going to say it's unbelievable, but nothing's unbelievable nowadays. Everything's blooming believable.
Nothing's unbelievable. But that's the sort of system they work. They work, and then you get 6 weeks after they pass away. And you know they give you these things like bus passes.
Yeah, they want it all back.
Yeah, immediately done. Not that I ever used it, but return it. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
No, because you're going to be flying around the country with your free bus pass, like. It's crazy. Sarah, you're a great advocate for your mum, even in her passing. Did you get your tenaciousness from your mum?
No. Yes, mum. My mum was some little lady.
You wouldn't get one over her, would you,
No, you would not.
Nor would I like to try and get one. And what was her name, Sarah, if you don't mind me asking?
My mummy's name is Jeannie.
Okay,
Jeannie
God rest Jeannie Elliott. Of course, we always love our mums. We lose them, but we never lose them. They're always there. I'm sure they're always there in one form or other. The amount of times I still go when I'm curious about something to pick up my phone to WhatsApp my mum is crazy. It still happens.
Every day.
But that's good, isn't it, Sarah? That means they're so important to us and we'll never forget them.
Listen, they're always with us.
Thank you so much for outlining the craziness of our system and the inequity in it as well, Sarah. God bless you. Thank you so very much indeed, and thinking on Jeannie as well. Greg, it's the government not giving grants to help these festivals. They want to kill off tourism. I would never subscribe to the fact that they want to kill off tourism. The point I was trying to put to Paul McLoone is that, you know, I believe they target a certain type of tourist, and I believe too they use certain demographics or tools to do that. Right. So, high value tourism is seen as golf, for an example. Huge amount of effort. In terms of golf, promoting golf. And I'm not saying for a second that shouldn't happen. But do they sort of go, right, well, that 100K can go on trying to get, you know, a couple of Americans to land in the area in helicopters and spend 100 grand. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I'm curious to dig into, to sort of see, well, where does a food festival or where does a music festival sit in the priority list when they're arguing on the festival's behalf to go up Dublin for funding. Does that make sense? 2 weeks ago, I renewed my TV licence, says a listener. Do you remember when people didn't do that? Well, we're back doing it again. 2 weeks ago, I renewed my TV licence, €160. I find myself listening to the radio to hear match coverage. We're back to the Stone Age, having to listen to our local radio to hear about the GEA. Sorry, I know the point you're trying to make. Stone Age. But anyway, they say so many people are involved in the upkeep of GEAT, grass coaching, etc. They aren't paid. How do people have to pay to watch their local teams after all they give? Shame on the GEA. I would like Jarlath Burns to come on and explain himself. Well, you also too have to pay for GEA Plus if you want to see the other games. But I think we're at the cutting edge, not the Stone Age, but I think I take your point. Greg, I had a car for sale last year on Dundeal, and the amount of these messages asking for a car check was unreal. Ah, okay. I just haven't experienced it ever on Dundeal, but bombarded with them on Facebook. And I'll be honest with you, I actually did say to one of them, I says, look at, I says, I know you've a job to do. It's terrible, right? But anonymously, would you chat to me for the radio and just tell me, you know, I'd love to know where they're based, even if they wouldn't give that information. How many contacts do they make a day? How successful are these contacts? How much money are they getting off people? But he wouldn't bite, or she wouldn't bite, and told me to F off and blocked me. Regarding pensions underpayment, the government will do everything to keep money away from you. We work here all our lives, and anything we try to get in return is made very difficult. People come into the country and get handed everything for free, and they don't have to prove anything, believes that listener.